You are listening to the Reality Steve podcast with your host, Reality Steve. He's got all the latest info and behind-the-scenes juice on Joey's season of The Bachelor and interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. Now, here's Reality Steve.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to podcast number 382. I'm your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in. Good show for you today. We're bringing back Kate Casey from the Reality Life podcast because I want to talk a lot of Vanderpump Rules, some Bravo shows. We're going to get into some documentaries that she always requests or suggests. Excuse me. And then we even get into some royal family talk. Didn't think you'd be getting royal family talk on this podcast, but I'm curious because I'm really confused what the hell's going on. So I ask her. Anyway, we'll get to all that momentarily. Before we get to Kate Casey, a lot to go over in the Daily Roundup today, as a lot of time is spent on the Love is Blind reunion show that aired and dropped on Netflix last night. Our season six is now officially over. And there was one just major, major confusing part to me. In that you had the most polarizing duo of the season, the most polarizing couple of the season, I would say, just based off social media activity, was Jimmy and Chelsea. And if you want to throw Jess in there, you can. The Jimmy-Chelsea relationship and then the Jess and Jimmy relationship, probably the most talked about all season, right? And I think every couple that was up there last night, Brittany and Kenneth, and Jeremy and Sarah Ann, who we found out are still together, Clay and AD, Johnny and Amy. Okay. Every single one of them, which is the purpose of a reunion show, is talk about what happened at the end of filming in terms of what we saw on the show. If there was a breakup, what happened? What happened after the show? And where is your relationship now? And the most polarizing couple of the season never got asked any of those three questions. They never got into, hey, Jimmy, what went into your decision to break up with Chelsea before wedding day? Never got into it. Then they didn't ask him, we come to find out, in post-show interviews that are on Us Weekly, EW.com, People.com, Jimmy and Chelsea have both spoken to the press. And have both admitted, we tried to date after he broke up with me, and it just didn't work out. Never addressed that on the reunion show, and then never even addressed where they're at right now. In case you don't know, they're both single. They tried it shortly after, I remember, this was filmed a year ago, so, and it just didn't work out. Now, there has been, I didn't know that going in. I thought we were going to find out they were together based on, there was videos and photos of them hanging out in Charlotte and being seen together. So I think people assumed they were back together. Not the case at all. Chelsea did an interview with EW.com this morning. Go read it. She says, I am as single as can be. We tried it. We actually dated on our wedding day, our supposed wedding day. We went on a date, got together a couple times, went on a couple dates. And Jimmy realized he didn't want to be in a relationship. Everything that happened on the show was too heavy for him, and he realized he didn't want to be in a relationship. How come we never got any of that on the reunion show? What I'm stunned only because we got clarity on pretty much everything else. And as I talked about on the Daily Roundup, I mean, this is my first Love is Blind season, meaning it's my first Love is Blind reunion show. I thought this is one of the best reunion shows of any of the reality TV shows that have reunion shows because they really follow up on questions. They don't just ask one question and be like, okay, let's not dive deeper into the answer that this person just gave, especially when the answer is evading the question, kind of like how Jeremy did a few times. Nick and Vanessa really pushed him. Hell, I feel like they spent 20 to 25 minutes on Jeremy, Sarah, Ann, and Laura to start right off the bat, which is good. You watch the Women Tell All. You watch the MTV Challenge reunion shows. First off, the Challenge ones are just people screaming at each other, and then the editing is just so choppy and horrible. This one, while there's choppy editing because you got to get those crowd shots or whatever that are just kind of stupid, they really don't let people off the hook with just one answer. Or, hey, we're going to ask Jimmy a couple questions and then, or, you know, Jeremy a couple questions and then just move on. No, they dug into everything that happened. Why did you do this? What did you think was going to happen? You were being televised. You were out till 5 a.m. with Sarah Ann. Like, they took Jimmy to task when he was talking about his fight with Jess in the pods. And Jimmy's like, yeah, that was like 10 minutes. And she's like, no, I think it was close to 90 minutes. I was like, well, it felt like 10 minutes to me. Let's go to the tape. Here it was. It was almost 3 hours of conversation with an 8-minute break in between. So I don't know what Jimmy was thinking. I mean, I get that maybe you lose track of time in a pod like that. But how could he think something was 10 minutes when it lasted almost 3 hours? That was kind of way off. 10 minutes? I mean, maybe if he said, like, look, you know, we talked for like a half hour, Jess. She could have been like, no, it was more like 90 minutes. Okay, maybe. Could see that. But how could you say something lasted 10 minutes when it lasted almost 3 hours? To be exact, I think it was 2 hours and 38 minutes with an 8-minute break that they took where they walked out of the pod. Weird. But yeah, missed opportunity, I think, by Love is Blind all around. You know, we got our answers today. They're not together. But I think so many people tuned in, not to mention they were the last couple that the show even addressed. You know, they went all around the table and they did all this stuff and then brought back alumni to ask questions. And they were the last couple we got to, and it was just not, I think, what anybody thought was going to happen. Like, to not even ask the most polarizing couple of the season, where are you guys at today? What's the point of the reunion show? Why'd you even bring them on? Whatever. I also talk about Survivor on today's daily roundup, and the fact that the reader emails is going up today. So once you hear this podcast and it's posted, you can go to the website, realitysteve.com, and get to the reader emails that I did not post yesterday. I posted them today, so check that out on the website. And then today's a big day in Taylor Swift world. In case you don't know, the Eras Tour is getting released on Disney Plus, meaning you can watch it 1,000 times in a row if you choose to. I'm not going to watch it 1,000 times in a row, maybe 700. So keep that in mind going forward. This podcast brought to you by Earth Echo Foods and their new superfood called Cacao Bliss. For the past decade, Earth Echo has been a leader with their premium superfoods products and are proud to have served millions of customers worldwide. As a listener to this podcast, you can receive an additional 15% off exclusive offer when you visit shop.earthechofoods.com/realitysteve and use the promo code realitysteve. Every Earth Echo is also going to plant a tree and remove 3 plastic bottles found for the ocean with every order. So not only get a delicious and nutritious Cacao Bliss, but you can feel good about helping the environment. That's an additional 15% off when you visit shop.earthechofoods.com/realitysteve and use promo code realitysteve. All right, let's get going. Podcast number 382. All right, let's bring her in. A multi-time guest on the show. She's the host of the Reality Life podcast. And she's going to fill me in on quite a few things going on in the Bravo series world, and it is Kate Casey. Kate, thanks for joining me from your car. I appreciate it.
I'm very happy to talk to you as always.
So let's get started with this. Let's start with Vanderpump Rules. And okay. I want you to, because I'm a newbie to this, I jumped on board at the reunion shows last season. Those were the first 3 episodes I've ever seen. I did not go back and watch 10 seasons. I didn't feel like I needed to. I had an idea. People were telling me enough things where I was like, okay, like off the top of my head, could I list all the guys that Lala's been with or whoever? Like, nah, probably not, you know. But I do know who was dating who was engaged to who was married to who for the most part. So, yeah. And I've watched all of the season and, you know, I've enjoyed it. But there are some things that I want to get to in terms of backstories with a few people that you guys know you could probably fill me in on and what's happened in the past. So let's first off start with this. What are your thoughts on this season so far of Vanderpump Rules? You've seen all of them, I'm assuming. Do you think it's been better than worse than other ones, or it's what you expected?
Oh no, it's what I expected. It's like pretty boring. I feel like it's not so much a reality show, but almost like a documentary following a group of people that their show went viral.
Yeah.
Like it does not feel like a reality show at all. It just feels like the aftermath of a viral story and what happens in the aftermath with friendships. Because it's really like a show within a show right now. It's just watching people as they, I think, first of all, the show was about, well, we know this now because I've interviewed the executive producer, but it was on its last legs already. And this affair that broke, it kind of brought attention back to the show. I mean, it was like the mainstream story.
Yeah.
But the friendships are pretty fractured already because they're all older and some of them have children and they don't really have much in common anymore because they don't work at the same place anymore. So this brought, like, definitely kept the show on the air because people kind of wanted to see what happened with Tom Sandoval and Rachel. And Rachel didn't come back to the show. As they started to film the show, there was consideration that maybe she would come back, tie up loose ends, and then she sort of held out. So it was sort of a boner killer, if you will, that you don't kind of have the end of that story. So the show really now is who's making the most money off of the scandal? Will people still be friends? And dealing with who became more famous from it and who didn't. So like in the last episode, you see Lala and the others kind of getting mad at Ariana because she's getting all these opportunities. And this one fan took a picture with Sheena and a group of others, and Tom Sandoval was in the picture too. And Sheena took a lot of flack for it online.
Yeah.
And Lala was sort of like, well, you know, we've had your back, have our back too, because now we're getting ridiculed. And you can kind of see that Ariana's like, okay, like I didn't feel like I really had to. She's sort of already left the show in her own brain, and she's striking the iron while it's hot and taking all these opportunities. And the others are sort of left behind. You see how they're kind of angered because of her level of fame, but also you could see them trying desperately to figure out how do we keep the show on the air and how do we keep ourselves on the show so that we can continue this revenue stream, because they've seen what the other side was, and the other side was not too far in the past. Where, I mean, even Ariana noted that she only had $2,000 before this scandal exploded. So I feel like you're watching Sheena, particularly sort of scrambling, like, how do we keep this show on the air? How can we make this relevant? And Ariana's totally tuned out and making the most money of all of them.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that's interesting, I did think it was an interesting conversation last night or the episode this week when Lala went to Ariana about the photo and just said, look, and it wrapped into a bigger deal that they're dealing with this season, which is Ariana has said, look, anybody that is friends with Tom, like, I'm not telling you what to do with him, but just know if you become friends with him, I don't want that in my life. So it's almost like I get that she's trying to distance herself by saying, hey, I'm not telling you what to do. But when she says the consequences are basically, I don't have anything to do with you, you are kind of telling them what they should do with their life when it comes to Tom. And I think that's wrong of Ariana. And I'm Team Ariana when it comes to Team Ariana versus Team Sandoval. I mean, it's a no-brainer. He's a jerk. But I do think she's being a little bit unrealistic, because I don't think that that Lala and Sheena are coming to her and saying, we want to have wine nights with him. We want to have game nights with Tom. But I just think, like, if Tom was in a rut, if Tom was having a bad night and he called Sheena in the middle of the night and had a two-hour conversation with her and Sheena made him feel better and that got back around to Ariana, she would be upset about it when she shouldn't be. It's just like, it's not that they're asking him to be part of the group again. They're just saying, can we, you know, don't let us, like, completely lose our friend. And Ariana just seems to be taking everything as well, if you talk to him, you're trying to make him part of the group again. And I think that's unrealistic.
I don't really think it's about friendship. I think it's about for them still speaking to Tom. It's a matter of trying to keep the connection there so that the show continues to exist. So it's even cuts even deeper, because it's like, not only do I not want you talking to him, I want you to potentially cut off your own revenue streams, because I'm getting Dancing with Stars. I'm getting all of these other ancillary opportunities, And they aren't getting those opportunities. And by cutting off Tom would also mean them cutting off continuing with the show moving forward. Because the reality is, they're going to try these spinoffs, but spinoffs don't always work. Actually, very rarely do.
So are we thinking?
So that's what I'm saying. It's like not even a reality show anymore. It's like kind of depressing because you're like, now we all know too much. And it's like, they're all just trying to figure out how to like keep themselves on television.
So are we thinking this is the last season?
Yes, I think so. Now other people were appalled when I said that. Like the ratings are so high. Why would they let it go? Yeah, but even the producers are like, there's not much left here. I mean, they wanted to cancel the show before, and then it's just because it stayed on the air because of the scandal. But there's not much there anymore. I mean, they're not that captivating.
Hmm.
They're just not.
See, that's where to me, I jumped in at the reunion, and I think it's fascinating. I want to keep watching these people, but I get it. We're 11 seasons in. I'm 10, like, Steve, you're 10 seasons of stuff that you totally missed out on. That's where all the drama was. That's when it was. People were talking about this, and that's what built it. And I kind of get it to that extent.
The only thing that would be interesting is if Rachel was on and they were kind of giving the play-by-play of like, this is how we kept this secret. But outside of that, do you know a couple of them have children and they kind of hang out, and then they go to a bar, but half of them don't drink. And
yeah,
I just think that they all sort of outgrew the show.
I think one of the things that that you mentioned there, and when I'm looking at it, I'm like, well, this could be interesting if they went this direction or this direction. But like this whole season has just been, when I hear Sandoval talk again, this is a guy that still isn't taking complete ownership of what he does, is always followed by a but. And I'm just like, he doesn't seem to get it. Mm-hmm. But I do understand when he does say, like, you guys were all kicking me when I was down. But he also contributed to that as well. So, I mean, I think a lot of people are at fault here. One of the things that was brought up during the episode as well this week was when I think the four of the women were having dinner, and somebody brought up the, I think Lala even said it, in regards to Jax.
Uh-huh.
Didn't they bring up the Jax Brittany thing, and Lala said, this was before, I mean, at the time of that filming, Jax and Brittany were still together. There was nothing in terms of a separation. That obviously happened in real time months later. But it was interesting that they showed that on the show last night, that basically Lala's insinuating Jax has still been running around on Brittany. So here's what I want you to do.
Uh-huh.
I know the names Jax and Brittany, never watched them when they were on Vanderpump Rules because I just started, obviously, last season. But every time, I read Us Weekly, I read Entertainment Weekly, I read People. Every time I've ever seen Jax's name, it seems like this guy's one of the worst guys ever in reality TV. And
right.
And he definitely cheated. I know he cheated on Brittany. Who did he cheat on Brittany with? Was this guy a serial cheater? Why did she marry him like a year later? Can you explain the Jax and Brittany thing and then what Lala was referring to this week?
I mean, even when the show began, he was dating Stassi, and Stassi would just call him out all the time that he cheated. He's just a perpetual cheater. So what makes it interesting is that he meets Brittany at like some Vegas bar. They have this like long distance thing. He convinces her to move to Los Angeles. She's from Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And everyone sort of loves Brittany. No one has anything bad to say about her. Seems to be very lovely. But I mean, they've all kind of been like, yeah, but he's like a dog. You get that, right? But he sort of tried to reinvent himself as like this family man and kind of like, well, my days of being a reality star behind me, like I'm a serious man now. I'm a serious family man. He'd been off television for a little bit. They were kind of like pushed him out. And then he was on one of those reality shows, the villain show. And again, it was like, I'm really into my wife and my son. My life's so different now. So I think that's what's captivating, is that people who are kind of newer to the show like yourself, or people that kind of bought into this new narrative, they're just kind of like cracking it to pieces because she's moved out and they've got this new show. And I do think a part of that was to kind of sell you on why you should watch The Valley, this new spinoff, which begins on the 19th, about Brittany and Jax and their life as parents and their circle of friends. So I think it's all kind of like set up, not to be like totally surprising, but just to kind of remind you of what a doggy is and the reason that you may have wanted to watch Vanderpump Rules. And certainly they're trying to position that, like, if you love Vanderpump Rules, you're going to love The Valley. It's just like Vanderpump with older people. But I disagree. I think they're all kind of boring. We've already known their stories for a long time. And like, do I necessarily want to see a couple that's like struggling when they have like a toddler? I don't know. I feel like it's a little bit too probably close to home for people that are in the thick of raising small kids. Like, this is depressing. That's why they liked Vanderpump Rules, because it was like, oh, let's harken back to the days where I didn't have responsibilities.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, everything I've seen of Brittany being stopped by TMZ and even Jax, they're just basically saying, like, when they are previewing The Valley now, they're saying, like, you're going to see why Jax and Brittany got to the point where they are now when you watch The Valley. It's like, great, so you're promoting your show by telling people to watch a relationship, a marriage with a child, fall apart.
Fall apart.
Yeah.
And also the irony that they have this, like, podcast, I believe it's called like After Reality Hits or something. So they've just kind of packaged themselves as this like sweet little family. And then, you know, there is some degree that I think people are like, oh, you've packaged yourself. Well, let's open the package up. Like, there's no way this is real. I feel like if you've watched Vanderpump Rules from the beginning, you're probably not going to be interested in The Valley.
So in anything that you have heard in regards to Jax and Brittany, is this a cheating situation? Because when she was interviewed by TMZ, I think she said, well, you know, I need certain things out of Jax in the relationship, and what a surprise, I'm not getting them. And she's been very kind of like vague about it. So are we thinking this
is... Well, it's probably not the only... Yeah, I mean, there are definitely rumors that he's cheated, and certainly wouldn't be beyond the pale of reasoning considering the kind of person he's been portrayed as. But her phraseology sounds to me a lot like he's just not a present husband. And one would wonder how they would think a marriage could exist when he just opened a sports bar. Like, they've got a toddler talking about having another baby, and he's opening a bar, which means he's out late at night. He's getting a ton of attention because the show had, you know, this resurgence of attention. It's probably all the makings of a horrible situation. And then Lala alluded to, like, they are, the two of them always have consistent drama within their marriage. They're, you know, they're going to come right back to where they, you know, where they kind of left off when they left Vanderpump Rules, because there's always some obnoxious thing going on. I don't know. Everybody, again, like I said, they like Brittany. There doesn't seem to be much humanity to Jax, and I don't know how that's going to keep people interested when they know he's got a toddler. It's not as fun to watch somebody who's screwing around and being selfish when you know that the other person is like drowning in activities and like a lack of sleep, etc.
So when Jax was on Vanderpump Rules, did he cheat with someone on the show? Who did he cheat on Brittany with?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he cheated on everybody. Oh, with Brittany, I think he had cheated, if I remember correctly, like on a Vegas trip or something. He just seems like somebody who would jump at any opportunity before he got married to cheat. And then he just seems like a very kind of like misogynistic guy. Like, you do this, I do that, I come home where, you know, I need to come home to a quiet house. Just a very, like, archaic kind of belief system.
Well, I can't wait to watch The Valley. Seems to be one hell of a show.
I don't know, but I don't know if it, like, I have kids. I don't know if I want to watch it. I can't imagine somebody who doesn't have kids wanting to watch it. Like, watching people raise small children in the suburbs, I don't know. Is that exciting?
I mean, I guess it would be the only reason would be like, oh, the people that we used to watch on Vanderpump Rules are all grown up now. So isn't Kristen also on it as well?
She is on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So she's another one that I know that was, again, don't know her. I just know she was on Vanderpump Rules and then wasn't. So it's like just catching up with them. You know, I don't expect it probably to do better than Vanderpump, but.
No. Oh, God. No, not at all.
So
the Bravo network's hard too, because whatever they do a spinoff, even if it becomes popular, it takes weeks and weeks for people, even if you air it right after a big show, just people get stuck in their own ruts about what to watch, and they seem to have a harder time getting people interested in spinoffs.
One last thing on Vanderpump, and it goes back to this week's episode. I forgot to mention it earlier. Was what do you think about Ariana's claims that, hey, Lala, you told everybody after everything happened with Randall, nobody talked to him or else I'm cutting you out of my life. Is it the same?
I think that what makes Lala's story different is that I think that all of the cast members, particularly the women, are privy to information that's very damaging about him. Lala sort of alluded to it. And so I think what she's trying to say without saying it is, I don't want you to talk to him because he's had a very secretive life and it's incredibly hurtful to me, but also because it's involving their child who's quite small. So, you know, with Tom and Ariana, it's like you were just two single people that made an agreement to live together. And it seems like they were living like a relationship that had very little to no intimacy. And I think Lala's point is, I was about to marry this person. I have a child. And the things about him are far worse than you could imagine. So, like, knowing that information, why would you ever be around somebody that could partake in such things? Whereas Tom is just like, he's like a goof, a weirdo who just like wants to be the lead singer of a cover band.
Yeah. Couple other things. I always say last thing about Vanderpump, but a couple other things. What is Brock's deal? Obviously, I know nothing about him having joined at the end of last season. Where did Sheena meet this guy? I know he's got a family, or he's got daughters in another country or so. What is his deal? Is he well liked? Because I find him funny. I find him to be likable. See what I know? I know nothing.
Well, the weird thing too is that every person who's kind of new to the show, they're on the show because they are dating someone on the show. And some you go, yeah, fine, what's the big deal? It all seems very weaselly. Like all of the, like James's girlfriend, like they may have watched a bunch too episode, like too many episodes and dreamed of being on the show and they've weaseled their way onto it. So that's always kind of weird. Brock has two children that live in Australia and he's sort of cagey about the reasons for that. And so a lot of people are kind of uncomfortable with him being on the show. He didn't appear that much last season. And there was speculation that it was because maybe he had some legal issues with custody of his two children living in another country. I'm not sure. But I think there's enough there that there's a bad smell to it. And I think people are kind of respond to that.
Okay, so we don't know his custody situation with his daughters. For all we know, he sees them, he goes back to Australia
No, he doesn't.
Okay.
No, I think he has an strange relationship. And the weird thing is, I think the one daughter, her name is Winter. And then he and Sheena named their daughter Summer.
There's got to
so
be
a, sort of
the,
like,
the other one's got to be okay. Autumn. The other one's got to be autumn or fall then.
Well, it's just like, what? Okay.
Yeah. What about no, that was it. That was Brock was the one that I didn't know enough about. But again, with Sheena, and again, this could be editing. You know, when they showed yesterday or at the end of this week's episode, we got the second half trailer for the season, and we see Sheena sitting there with Brock, basically telling him, "I don't think I'm going to be with you very long," or something like that. And I was just like, wait a second. That could be editing. Could be just
creative editing. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine you would sit there and be telling your husband, I don't see myself with you long term. That seems kind of odd. Why not just break up now? What's the point of, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But it sucked me in. The second half trailer sucked me in because I was like, oh, I want to see Ariana with her new boyfriend. I do want to see what Shane is talking about with Brock. Oh, Tom's getting in another fight. What a shocker. Because somebody, yeah. You know, it's just, I don't know. I'm drawn to it, but I'm betting if I'm never going to go back and watch the 10 seasons. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah. No, nor should you. Yeah.
If I did, I guarantee I probably wouldn't be as into this season as I am and enjoying it. But I the thing for me is because these people are all new to my life. I mean, to me, this show, like you said, it's more of a documentary falling around a group of people who went viral because of a scandal. To me, I mean, when I watched this show, because I started last year with a reunion, so that wasn't the show itself. when I watch the show this season, I'm like, this is just The Hills with different people. It's the same exact thing. Just, hey, let's go meet up for lunch here. Oh, there's a party here someone's putting on. Oh, we're having a costume event here. It's just like, it's the same thing. It's The Hills.
Well, by the way, it's the same filmmakers.
Okay, well, there you go. Like, that's why it's, that's why it seems so familiar to me. I was like, yeah, this is the, that's why, I think that's why I like it, because I loved The Hills. It was great. But yeah, I'm thoroughly enjoying it, but I can see why maybe 11 seasons in, who people who have watched it from the beginning are like, okay, where is this going? But yeah, I'm a newbie, so count me in. I'm fresh. I'm fresh excited.
All right. Excited for you that you're new to it, because that's always exciting when there's a new show. And when you told me that this was your first season of Love is Blind, I couldn't believe it either. Well, like, I'm almost jealous of you, because then you're like experiencing it all. Like, I've been watching from the beginning, and some seasons have been absolutely horrible, and it makes you kind of disinterested in the show. And then this season, I think it got people really, really into the show again.
All right, so let's talk about Love is Blind. Let's talk about season six. Now, we are recording this Wednesday before the reunion episode airs, so I just want to, by the time people listen to this, by the time people listen to this, there's probably a good chance they'll have already watched the reunion show, and obviously we can't cover it because it hasn't aired yet. But let's just talk about everything up until the reunion show. And for me, again, I've never seen the show before this season. However, I did watch one season. I don't even remember what it might have been. It wasn't Dallas, so I don't even know what city it was. But I only watched the first episode because it was the pods. And I was like, this show sucks. I can't deal with these pods, and I cannot wrap my head around the fact that these people are literally declaring love for somebody that they've never physically seen. Like, I get it, the whole Love is Blind, and you want to build something that's more based on, you know, more than looks or whatever, but I'm sorry, you would never, ever, 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 ever propose to somebody you've never seen in your life. Like, you know, it's just ridiculous to me. I mean, it's really no different than Married at First Sight. They do the same thing, but this isn't the norm. If it works out, like, you're the exception, not the rule. Like, it's just love.
Right.
But the pod episodes, just the flowery and lovey-dovey conversations of somebody, and just like, oh my God, I went back to bed last night, and all I could think about was you and your answers. It's just like, these people are just telling you what you want to hear, because they can't see you. And then we've seen sometimes when they do meet up and look at each other, they're like, oh, okay, maybe I shouldn't have proposed, or, you know. So I found it interesting. But I got past the pod episodes. So to me, I just want to get from engagement day to the rest of the season. That's what I care about. The pod episodes, I guess I'm just going to have to fight through for, you know, the next season in Minneapolis. But I'm just, that's where I'm at with the show. And this season, we definitely had some characters. You know, the Chelsea and Jimmy thing, I don't want to talk spoilers. I have seen some stuff show up on my TikTok feed that might lead into what's going on between them right now. I don't know. I'd rather not. But if you know what's going on with them now, don't say anything. But just in general, like, I totally agreed with what Jimmy's decision was last episode. Like, I don't understand. She was being, again, someone that was being totally unrealistic when they had that last fight, which was, I went to go see my buddies for 90 minutes and, you know, 30 minutes each way in the car. I was gone for 90 minutes and you knew where I was the whole time. Uh-huh. And then she's just like, but in the pods, you said you weren't a partier. And I was like, but he's not partying. Like, I don't know. What were your thoughts on Chelsea and Jimmy?
I was just like, first of all, the guy's probably on set for 10 days. He wants to get out and just go to a bar and see his friends. Like, it's not that big of a deal. But he, I don't know, maybe he flowered his pod moments with her with lots of questionable commentary, which would make her feel like, oh, this guy's hard to read. He might be not interested, which is why she asked him every 5 minutes whether or not he's into her. I don't know. I think in the end, he let the Megan Fox comment get into his head.
Yeah.
I think he chose Chelsea, and the minute he saw her, he regretted it. And I feel like everything that he does ever, even after that, is just his way of kind of getting out of the relationship.
Yeah, I felt like he was trying to convince himself he was attracted to her after he saw her. That's how I felt. Like, he... You know, I mean, she's not an ugly woman, but I don't think he thought that was who he was getting when he saw her walk out of the stage.
Which kind of goes against, they kind of cheated the point of the show.
Yeah.
For her to ask that question, has anybody ever, like, said you look like a celebrity, and then to volunteer the information about whom people say to her, sort of ruins the whole point of the show.
How strict are they with that in terms of talking about looks or what you possibly look like?
I think in years or seasons past, they've been a lot more strict.
Hmm. Because that, I mean, that ended up being the first, what was it? Six episodes got released on the first drop, right?
Yep.
That ended up being the topic that hit all the entertainment sites was her saying the Megan Fox comment. And I'm just like, this is what's dominating this show. And it's all about what she said. And then obviously they've joked about it. They've done interviews and all that stuff. But, you know, I totally understood him saying, you know, I don't want to marry you. Like it seemed like they fought way too much. I mean, when you're, I understand you don't know this person, but to me, when I'm watching it and I'm seeing, Brittany and Kenneth, was it Brittany, right? Brittany and Kenneth fight and Chelsea and Jimmy fight. I'm like, yeah, because you're actually getting to know someone. You got engaged before you even knew what the hell they look like.
I know.
So it's like, why am I the least bit surprised that these people might not have the greatest communication skills, yet you're sitting there engaged to a total stranger? It's a very bizarre show, but
it's a bizarre show.
It's no more bizarre than Married at First Sight, getting married and working backwards. You know, let's get married first and then date each other. You know, at least with The Bachelor, you get to hang out with The Bachelor. You get to see him. And Bachelorette, you get to see her. You get to go on group dates. You get to go on one-on-one dates if you're lucky. Like, it's bad enough that I got to deal with an engagement at the end of 2 months for two people who kind of still barely know each other on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. That's why the Love is Blind concept to me and Married at First Sight as well. It just seems like this is just so TV. This is just so for TV. But yet I'm enthralled by the season because I'm interested in these couples and how stupid that Jeremy guy is. It's like, what did you think was going to happen when you were out till 5 a.m. and you're on a show that's being televised? Like, what?
Well, I know, but he thinks he's smarter than everybody. That's like his personality type.
Yeah. I mean, his personality always drove me crazy all season. I'm like, this guy's just shady. Just the way
you know what drives me crazy? The spelling of his name drives me crazy.
Yeah. It's it's J E, it's
Jeremy.
Yeah, I was like, Jeremy. That's what your name is, Jeremy.
Yeah, Jeremy.
Not Jeremy. So, not knowing any of the success stories of the past, I had some readers say email me because I was like, hey, what's the success rate of this show? Just in terms of how many get engaged versus how many make it to the altar. And basically, I didn't realize this until people sent it to me. There's at least two engagements every season that from the time they get engaged to the time wedding day hits that they don't even make it to that. So kind of goes to show that this is just kind of blind luck if something happens well between any of these couples, right?
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen any seasons in the past where you were like, wow, I really think these two are going to make it, and I think they can. Are there any?
Not really. No, because I know too much. So I know they leave, and then that's a whole other process of grieving. They grieve, like, not getting the same stimulation, the attention, not having women throw themselves at you. Yeah, it's all.
You mean the men grieve?
I think that... like after it's over, they miss it. They like miss being part of the show.
And,
you know,
well,
I think most of them at this point are just, they're in on the joke. Like as we are, like, I just want to be an influencer.
Oh, I just want to go on the show, get some attention and I'll have better options out there when more women see me on TV. Really no different than Bachelor and stuff like that. Are there any things that you see when you're watching? I mean, I don't even know. How many couples from Love is Blind that got married on Love is Blind are still together to this day?
Well, there's one, Amy and Johnny, so we're going to wait to see if they're still married.
Oh, no, not this season. I meant past seasons because, I know.
Oh.
Yeah, like how many of the past couples are still together? Have any of them had kids? Has it actually worked out for anybody in the past?
Yeah, a couple. It's
it has?
I think maybe one of the blessings is that they get engaged and then no one knows who they are until like 8 months or so after they start or, you know, finish filming.
Yeah, see, that's the other thing that I find fascinating, because I like kind of how the sausage is made. You're kind of the same way. You like the behind the scenes stuff and how things get put together. You know, watching this season and learning, hey, Love is Blind, this filmed a year ago. I mean, Jimmy and Chelsea, whenever that breakup was, or let's say Johnny and Amy, it's like they've had to keep their secret for a year. I mean, The Bachelor has to keep their secret for 4 months. These people have to keep an engagement for a year. Or a marriage for a year. Like, how does that shit not get out? There's got to be spoiler sites for Love is Blind, right?
I mean, I try not to go into them because I kind of want to savor the opportunity, but I'm sure there are.
Yeah, I'm wondering if, like, well, put it this way. Ever since I started talking about it, some people have been sending me stuff about Love is Blind Minneapolis, the next season. So I've been told, like, locations. I've been told names of people that are on the show. But again, until it airs, we don't technically know which couples they're going to focus on, because we've seen instances of couples that have gone through and gotten engaged and then never even gotten shown, like the one woman that's suing this season. So it's kind of crazy. Like, I find that all very fascinating that this is all happening. Like, Minnesota, I think, just recently had their weddings, and yet we're probably not going to see it till next March. It's just like, wow,
right.
that's crazy. But yet they're going to be seen all around town and in Minneapolis at some point in the next 9 months.
And I don't think people care anymore. Like, in the early days of The Bachelor, you're basically signing a contract to save yourself from being outed. I just don't think people care as much anymore because there's so many options of what to watch.
Well, speaking of what to watch, we always bring you on to talk about, hey, what's coming up? What documentaries are you watching? What is some good television programming, stuff on streaming that you can request to our listeners? So give them a couple that you think the audience would really, really like.
Well, The Traitors on Peacock. Did they watch that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I'm really hooked on that. Oh, question for you here. This was brought up on Andy Dinard's site, Reality Blurred, today. And it's a good question, and I'd ask it to somebody who's a Traitors fan like yourself. What would you think of The Traitors if next season or a season in the future is if we as the viewers did not know who they were, who the Traitors were during the season, and we're finding out? Now, trust me, it was answered. Andy kind of answered it himself, but it was just like, but then we wouldn't see them, you know, the murders, you know, we wouldn't see the reasoning behind the murders. But it does add an element to, hey, wait a second. Would that be interesting? Would that be interesting? And they're like, well, we already have a show like that. I guess it was The Mole back in the day, is you didn't know who The Mole was as the viewer. We know all the time as the show is airing who the traitor is. What would you think if they didn't show us the traitors and we went along the show that way?
I mean, I think that might be actually better. It's a great concept. By the way, I'm sure that they've thought about it, but it is a copycat show from a European version, and maybe they tried that out and it didn't work.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's a reason for it, but
it would seem kind of hard now that I think about it to not show us the traitors. Guys, I think there'd be so much that we'd be missing. Yeah, maybe that's not it. And then the other thing was changing the ending of the show, and maybe because that final banishment, they're basically saying, like, take this season, for example. At that final banishment, they've three of the four voted Kate out. If Kate gets up there and doesn't reveal whether she was a faithful or a traitor, because once she revealed that she was a traitor, for the most part, everybody knew. I think the three people left, I think MJ and CT and Trishelle all knew, hey, we're all faithfuls. Like, there was really no suspense. It was just a matter of if CT and Trishelle were going to team up, and which they did. But they said, what if at that final banishment, that person doesn't reveal? So those final three that went there could be like, oh, maybe Kate was a faithful and maybe one of us. So maybe that's a way to change it going forward. But yeah, good show. I can't wait for next season, but I pretty much have an idea. Like, especially if they go all reality again, because the first season they did 10 normal people, 10 reality. If they go 20 reality again, it's going to be a lot of the same. Like, I could totally see a Brandi Glanville being on that. Like, the same type of people
she will not be on that.
She wouldn't do it, or they wouldn't ask her.
They're not going to have her on any Bravo shows for a long time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what else you got?
As far as what things to watch?
Yeah, any good docs out there?
Yeah, there's this one that I'm kind of obsessed with right now. It's an Indian true crime series doc, but it's all in English. And it's called The Indrani Mukherjee Story, Buried Truth. And this woman, who was a very successful CEO, very beautiful, was married for the third time and had a daughter from a previous marriage. And soon, I guess, like, okay, so she meets these different men and she kind of gets married, divorced. So it's her third husband. And she's got a sister who shows up. A sister and a brother that were basically raised with her quote unquote parents in like a working class or class area, and the half sister's name is Sheena Bora, and she was an executive, and she started dating the third husband's son, so that would make him her stepbrother. So they started dating, and then shortly after, she just disappears. And Indrani's like, I think she went to the United States to study. She's fine. Everyone else thinks it's kind of strange. And then a month after she disappears, a decomposed body is found in this like rural area. Well, people were brought in for questioning, and there are some who were kind of involved in the disappearance of her sister come forward and implicate Indrani. And what comes out is that the sister is not actually her sister. She's actually her daughter, but she never raised her. It was like she was born and then the grandparents raised this girl. And she continues to maintain her innocence, saying, oh, she just like went to go to the United States. But there's plenty of evidence pointing to the direction of she's still alive. What makes it even more complicated is she wasn't the sister. She was actually the daughter. And then when you find out she's not only the daughter, she had had her years before. So she's telling him, oh, she's my younger sister, really the daughter. Also, you find out that her father molested her. So he may have been actually the father of her half-sister slash daughter. So it's like complicated family dynamics.
My brain just fried when you went over that.
I know,
like,
I know.
Wait, huh?
I know. So it's basically like a rich woman who's been married a couple times, marries this wealthy guy who has a television network, and she starts, like her half-sister moves in with her, and she's introducing her to everybody, like, oh, this is my younger sister. Turns out she wasn't the younger sister. She was actually her daughter, but she kept her, like, secretive for years. And also with the consequent arrest that comes because the body was eventually found like a month later. It came out the younger brother said, oh, she was actually the daughter of Indrani. So you just don't know what to believe because she could be like a sociopath, but also sometimes when people are the product of an incest, there's a lot of like lying that goes on.
Yeah.
So it just seems like a series of lying, like she fudged the numbers on how old she was. Like just a lot of bizarre things. And this beautiful young girl who turned out to be her daughter disappears. And so ultimately she was arrested as well as her second husband and her driver. And they, you know, of course people start talking. One of them claimed, oh, they said that she was going to go, they were going to take her somewhere. And then they strangled her in the car and then dumped her body and set the body on fire. So It was like partially decomposed. So it was hard to get like DNA from her. But there's questions about why she would want her daughter dead, but she was so into the money. Perhaps if her daughter Sheena had married her half brother, then she would have had, you know, probably inherited a lot of money. And then there are other reports that maybe the daughter had grown sick of her mother, you know, kind of like smoothing over the fact that they're actually mother and daughter and not sister and aunt, or the half sister.
Yeah.
That the girl was maybe going to basically come out and tell the truth about her, thereby ruining her reputation in society circles.
Gotcha. That's fascinating stuff, I tell you.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, that's wild. I want to end with this, and I don't even know if you have a take on this. We haven't talked about this. This isn't really TV related, but it is very pop culture. top of the story stuff going on right now, and I don't really understand it, but because I haven't followed it, I just know something's going on with Kate Middleton. What the hell is happening here?
Oh, okay. So Kate Middleton, I can report on you. So I actually did Patreon episodes about it. So according to friends of mine who are in close proximity to her, their inner circle, she had intestinal surgery, and it causes her to have a colostomy bag. So that's why she's not out in public, because it's uncomfortable, and it's, you know, you can't really be out in public with a colostomy bag in her position.
Yeah.
And also the stress of Charles, who's apparently far more sick than they're telling. And so she's just trying to heal. And then the stress of, well, they're probably going to be king and queen sooner than they think, coupled with, I think her fragile health. I mean, there's a lot of speculation about an eating disorder, and it doesn't seem like it's out of the realm of possibility. But just trying to heal and have some privacy. And then her father-in-law is sick, and it doesn't seem like they've got a fantastic marriage either. You could understand why she's kind of like not wanting to be out. I say, as somebody who did crisis media for a long time, I think that what the problem with the Kensington Palace right now is that it's the old case of too many communications people, who many of which have worked there for far too long and have an outdated idea of how press operates, like not really a modern view of it.
Yeah.
Coupled with a non-compliant client. I just don't think William really is easy to work with. So if there's a photo mishap, it's because they're growing frustrated because the client won't agree to strategy or to make a statement, and they take matters into their own hand. And then the client is upset, but then the communications team is frustrated. They're like, well, you don't give us anything. We have to do something. They're just not on the same page at all. And lastly, I would say as a former client or crisis manager, William really needs to go out and make some sort of statement, you know, like, you know, acknowledge my wife is healing, my father's healing, and, you know, we appreciate your good wishes. But I think he has such a difficult relationship with the press. I think that causes a lot of problems. Also, lastly, is that the British royals have sort of had a lot of power when it comes to the British press, because the British press always wants exclusives. So they kind of play their game. And I think this is the first of what you're seeing are cracks in that system, and that maybe it's going to be a lot harder for them to deal with British press. They're not going to let the British royals get away with as much as they have in the past.
What was this thing that, I guess the biggest thing that happened was she posted some photo, and then she went on Twitter and actually cleared up exactly what happened.
She just said, "Oh, like a lot of amateur photographers, I modified the picture." But
what was the photo? I don't get it.
It was a family picture. It was a little odd looking. It looked like an old photo.
Oh.
What's unusual about that is that they would let her take the fall on the sword. Mm. I don't really think it was her modifying the picture. It was probably somebody else. But I think that's also like, we have to put a picture out because people starting to think like you've disappeared, you're murdered, you're not alive.
Mm.
And growing frustrated, they probably modified a picture, and then she fell on the sword for it.
I was going to say, because what I heard was once the picture was posted, all the internet sleuths are looking at it like, this doesn't seem legit. They're poking holes in the picture. So she had to come out and make a statement rather than somebody else, right?
Yeah, because the wires pulled the picture. They were like, this has been modified too many times. We have to kill the picture, which is like hanging a light on it all, like making it so obvious. Yeah.
But the thing is, like, there's actually people that think that she might not be alive, but we know she is, right? She's
alive. She's just, like, really needs a significant amount of time to heal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially with intestinal surgery. I mean, that's that's a big deal. So, again, Kate, I know you're driving. You're in your car, so I appreciate you coming on and doing this. Always great having you on. Thank you for all the Vanderpump and Jackson Brittany info. I feel like I'm up to date. By the time people hear this, they'll probably have watched the Love is Blind reunion show. I'm looking
so excited for it.
And
I want them to know that if they go to katecasey.substack.com, they can get my what to watch list every week on what to watch and unscripted TV. And then over on my Patreon, I talk far more about British press strategy and what's happening behind the scenes. And they can get that at Patreon, patreon.com/KKC, in addition to the regular episodes that I do on my regular feed.
Nice. And that's, we obviously know, is the Reality Life with Kate Casey. So, Kate, thank you so much for coming
on. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Really appreciate it. And we'll talk soon.
Okay. Talk soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much to Kate. She was a last second replacement. So, I really asked her if she could come on and do this. And yeah, the timing wasn't great only because I did want to talk Love is Blind and we had to record before it aired, or else I would have been recording with her at, 9 o'clock my time tonight. And I still have the Daily Roundup and the Sports Daily to record. So thank you to Kate for coming on. Really appreciate that. Thank you all for listening. Please follow me on Apple Podcasts, rate and review, but you got to hit play. That's the best thing you can do to help this podcast. Daily Roundup was posted a couple hours ago. Sports Daily posted about an hour ago. So thank you to Kate Casey. Thank you all for listening, and I will talk to you tomorrow. See you.